everybody, to Mysterious Minis, the mini episodes of the Galaxy Not So Far Away podcast, where we talk about new events and new books coming out and just general goings-ons at the store. I'm your host, Gary.
And I'm Becca.
And we have a kind of light week this week, for the most part. We've only got like three big events, really. So I think we can just like knock these out, actually.
I think so.
Yeah, so like, let's just, we can just go ahead and jump right into it. Our first event is tomorrow, the 23rd at 7 o'clock. Jason Offutt is going to be in conversation with Mark Bro discussing his book, So You Had to Build a Time Machine. Which, how did I not know about this book when we did our time travel episode?
Oh, I know. I was just like, when I was reading the description of it, I was like, damn, this would have been perfect.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually didn't read the description of the book itself, but this cover has like bugs on it. What is this book about?
It literally sounds like, I don't know, like it sounds like a culmination of a bunch of characters that are maybe the people of my dreams. The main character, Skid, is a circus runaway turned bouncer.
Fantastic.
Meets this crazy theoretical physicist named Dave. And then, like, it also goes on to say that, like, they have to get the help of a haunted house owner and a linebacker-sized D&D lover who's also a baker.
Incredible. This sounds, what a fantastic cast of characters.
I feel like I accidentally hijacked the event you were going to discuss. But, when I was reading
this sounds great.
When I was reading it, I was like, oh no, I'm in love with all of you.
Yeah. Please, give me, I need all these characters in my life. This book actually came out back in July, which is, it's strange that we're doing an event this late, but I'm glad that we're doing it. And then Mark Bro has a new book coming out. I don't know if they're going to discuss his book that much. He's got a new book coming out next week called Temple of Conquest, which I'll probably put in the episode description for next week, the way we do for all like new titles. But we have pre-orders available for that one. And if folks
Mark Bros is the, what did you say the title was?
Temple of Conquest.
Okay, I don't know what I thought I heard you say.
Yeah, that one's out next week. I don't think we're doing anything. I don't think we're doing anything for his book, but we are going to have book plates, signed or personalized book plates for. Oh no, for both actually.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So yeah, if you want either book to be signed or personalized, well, the book won't be signed or personalized. If you want book plates signed or personalized for either title, you can make a request in your order comments, and we will get those shipped out to you.
And then it looks like on Thursday
at
7 p.m., we're going to have Rudy Ruiz in conversation with Charlie Lovett. They're going to be discussing the resurrection of Fulgencio Ramirez, which is Rudy's new book that came out today. I'm very interested in it. I know a little bit about Rudy Ruiz just as a Latino author.
Okay.
So I was really excited when I saw we were doing this event. The book is a lot to do with magical realism. It's set in the 1950s and is very much like a story of enemies and death and love lost and maybe found again.
Nice.
The book is titled after the main character, who, as the story evolves, like, he is a registered pharmacist, and he finds out that his arch enemy has finally died, and that arch enemy is the husband of Carolina Medelson. I'm totally butchering that. So she is the daughter of the, I believe, previous pharmacist. So like he and Carolina would have like, I don't know, grown up together, or like they're around the same age. And so her husband like passes away, and Fulgencio decides that he's gonna like win her love back. And it's also dealing with like the whole like American dream sort of thing, and him wanting to like find success in America because he's an immigrant. The thing that both of these books have in common, which I'm really excited to hear them, Rudy Ruiz and Charlie Lovett talk about, is both of them have everything to do with your past shaping your future.
Hmm.
Charlie's book, Escaping Dreamland, is about a best-selling author who, as soon as he hits, like, it big as a bestseller, starts having love trouble with his, long-term girlfriend, and ends up having to sort of, like, navigate the histories of his 12 favorite, like, childhood books, in order to change his life and, like, find himself. And the book is all about a connection between an author and their creations, love and friendship, and, like I said, the thing that links these two authors' books together, how the past shapes your future.
Amazing.
Yeah, and that is going to be, like I said, 7 o'clock on Thursday, and you can get signed book plates for both of the authors, but no personalizations.
Got it. Interesting. I think I might be helping work this event. So, that'll be fun. I'm excited to listen to these two authors talk because, like you said, both of their books do have like some overlap in just that, like, pursuing the American dream kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting. On Friday, we have a virtual young adult book club meeting, at 7 o'clock. This month's pick is Girl Serpent Thorn by Melissa Bishardoust.
I think that's how you say that name.
This cover's incredible.
This book has big Rogue from X-Men energy.
Oh.
It's about a girl who is cursed, so she's poisonous to the touch. And then she meets a young man who isn't afraid of her. Like, it gives me like big, like, Rogue and Gambit vibes. Like,
yeah, that's cute.
Yeah. Also, it, like, says, you know, like, at the end it says princess or monster, and I'm like, why do you have to choose?
Yeah. Monster princess.
Yeah.
Great. I love it. And then, we've only got one last, like, event to shout out. This one is, this one's really fun. Next Monday, we have Jim Butcher. An exclusive event. He's talking about his newest Dresden Files book, Battleground, which comes out next week. We'll talk more about it next week. It's like number 17 in this series. And he's going to be in conversation with Matt. 7 o'clock. It's a ticketed event, which means you either have to buy a copy of the book, to get the link and password to view the event, or you can buy just the viewing ticket. I believe that that's $5 flat.
Yeah.
And that'll get you the link in if you've already bought the book somewhere else or whatever. We're also offering signed copies of the book. So we're not doing any personalizations, unfortunately. But if you want to get a signed book, place that order as soon as possible. Because I don't know what the limit on how many signed copies we can get from the author. But we're going to get as many as we can.
I just got to say, I just love the picture we have for
God, his author him. Photo is great.
That elegant curly like blue hair. Oh my God.
Yeah, when we originally put up, this is just some like inside baseball, but when we originally put up the event page, when we created the banner, I think Darcy and Kelly both immediately, or no, I think Kelly just immediately was like, oh my God, like, is that his new author photo? And I don't know if it was Darcy or Constance said like, oh, like, it's just, it's a picture that we found of him on his website. So like, let's use it. Which makes me very happy. It's great. I think this is going to be a fun event. I haven't read any of the Dresden books and people tell me that they're really fun. But like urban fantasy was just not something that I've like dipped my toes into very much.
I just like the thing that does it for me. Like I'm semi familiar with the whole series, but Entertainment Weekly called it Buffy the Vampire Slayer starring Philip Marlowe.
Okay.
And I just think that's like hilarious.
Exciting. I'm into it. I mean, it sounds, yeah, I know a lot of people like really, really love these books. I think that I'm pretty sure that the first book in the series, is the title that we have sold literally the most copies of at Mysterious Galaxy.
I mean, it's no surprise. I mean, like, authors like Patrick Rothfuss and Patricia Briggs are huge fans of the series. Oh, yeah.
Totally.
And I feel like when you have names like that that are like, yes, about this book, like, yes, pick up the book.
I'm curious now. I think we've sold, like, thousands upon thousands of book one.
Are you looking up numbers on me?
I am looking up numbers on you.
Hmm.
Because I'm curious. lifetime sales. This is how many copies we've sold since we started using this particular sales software, which I think is like 5-6 years ago. We sold 1,000 copies.
Jesus.
1,019 copies of the mass market paperback.
Thank you so much, Jim, for keeping the lights on.
Yeah, for real. Like, this, we're so glad that we're able to have him. I got to see him at a panel at Comic-Con a few years back, and he's fascinating to listen to. Like, this guy, very invested in his series, but is also just, like, a huge fan of, like, fantasy also. And so, like, just had a lot of insight into the genre, which was great. I'm excited for this event. I think it's gonna be really fun.
Wait, you didn't really describe the book, which is fair, since it's number 17.
It's number 17, yeah.
All I want to say is it's about a super powerful lady that ends up, like, bringing the last titan, like, a giant, like, titan to Chicago. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I wrote down in my notes for today's, like, minisode, I was like, I have to make a joke about how a Chicagoan would just be like, but is this Titan a White Sox or a Cubs fan? Because that's what really matters.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, the last Titan has declared war on the city of Chicago and has come to subjugate humanity, obliterating any who stands in her way. Great.
I love it. What amazing. An icon.
Yeah. This is also, it's also crazy, 'cause book 16... Peace Talks also came out this year.
Yeah.
There had been like a 5-year period where like no new Dresden books came out. And then he put out two of them in the span of 6 months.
He was ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Big things. I wonder how many more Dresden books there's going to be.
God, I hope that it never stops.
Right. I've heard him described as like popcorn. In the same way that, like, Marvel movies get described as popcorn. Like, it's just, like, a fun, light... Like, yeah, we're gonna, you know, fight the last Titan in the city of Chicago, but, like, at the same time, there's, like a whimsy to the series, as far as
I understand. Oh, yeah.
Which I think is cool.
Speaking of popcorn...
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. We're not... This has nothing to do with popcorn. We should talk about books that are coming out.
Yeah, totally. We got some new books this week, a bunch of new books this week, actually. If you check the links in the description, there's going to be a lot more than the ones we talk about, as is usually the case. But
yeah,
this week in particular, it felt like we had a lot to choose from. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I can go first. Always willing.
Tell me what books you're pitching this week.
So this book is by Justin A. Reynolds. It is called Early Departures. I'm very excited. It's a contemporary YA novel with a speculative twist, and it is about, basically there's this new technology created in this society where people that have died can come back to life for a few weeks, but then they're dead forever. Like, you can bring them back once, essentially.
Wow.
And it kind of goes without saying, when people are brought back, you don't really want to tell them about what's going on because, like, that would really be a huge bummer.
Yeah.
So the story follows Jamal and his best friend Q, and Q dies. Oh, wait, no, excuse me. And Q dies. And Jamal, like, blames Q for the accidental death of his parents as well as Q, who was his best friend. And he passed away 2 years prior to when the story takes place. So Q's family decides to use this new technology to reanimate him for a few weeks before, you know, he has to die permanently. And his mother is hellbent on making sure that nobody tells Q about the inevitability of dying again after a few weeks. But Jamal wants closure and he wants to fix things between them, but he has to figure out how to do that without telling Q the truth of the nature of what is going on between
That's
them.
Rough. This sounds heavy.
Yeah. I'm really excited. It's gonna be a good book about, you know, loss and grief and friendship and love and sort of like redemption and forgiveness, and I'm excited. I think that the concept of technology that can reverse death, but only temporarily, is very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you got?
My first one is called The Doors of Eden by Adrian Tchaikovsky. And I am very excited about this one. This one sounds fascinating. It says that it's about these two girls. 4 years ago, they went looking for a monster in a place called Bodmin Moor. And one of the girls went missing. 4 years later, she's mysteriously back. But her friend Lee, who went with her, like, doesn't understand, like, what happened or where she's been all this time. It says that Mal's reappearance hasn't gone unnoticed by MI5 officers either. And Lee isn't the only one with questions. Julian Sabror is investigating an attack on top physicist K. Amal Khan, which leads Julian to clash with agents of an unknown power, and they may or may not be human. His only clue is grainy footage showing a woman who supposedly died on Bodmin Moor. It says, Dr. Khan's research was theoretical until she found cracks between our world and parallel Earths.
Oh.
Now these cracks are widening, revealing extraordinary creatures. And as the doors crash open, anything could come through. Yo.
Yeah, as soon as you said that one of them, like, came back after a long period of time, I was like, it's either, like, a demon or a monster of some sort.
Yeah.
Or something supernaturally, or parallel universe version of Friend.
Totally. Which is crazy. That, I don't even know if it's going to be it could be parallel universe version of Friend, or it could be that friend ended up in an alternate reality and has now come back. Like, I don't know.
I was thinking that maybe, like, the friend comes back, quote unquote, but is actually into another universe.
It's like, there's almost like an us thing in that idea of, like, being replaced with your alternate self.
See, for me, it gives me big, like Marvel or DC vibes, like the
sure.
that, like, yo, yeah.
All the time. Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
Everyone's always meeting each other and switching which universe they're in.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, you know, like, it came up in our time travel discussion, but, like, the idea of, like, parallel universes and, like, alternate realities and things and those, like, crashing is awesome, in my opinion. I am all for it.
I agree.
All right. What's your other one?
The last one that I'm going to talk about is an anthology that I am so excited about, and I saved it for last because we're getting close to October, which means it's almost spooky time. This book is Vampires Never Get Old, Tales with a Fresh Bite. It's a vampire anthology of 11 different stories from YA's, like, top fictional authors. You have Danielle Clayton, Rebecca Roanhorse, V.E. Schwab, Tessa Gratton, Julie Murphy. I could go on. I could list all 11 of them. But yeah, so there's it's going to be a bunch of different stories ranging from vampires using social media to lurk to rebellious vampires that are like, what if I eat something besides blood? To, like, vampires coming out, I don't know if they mean, like, as queer or as vampires. I'm super excited.
Queer vampires. I'm into that.
Why not, right? But it looks like...
I've seen Interview with a Vampire.
It looks like it's put together by Zoraida Cordova and Natalie St. Parker.
Awesome.
Obviously the title caught my eye, but then, like, it's just this really fun, like, neon, like, pink and, like, hot red cover with, like, a skull that has vampire teeth, like, and I love the pun, like, I'm a huge Rebecca Roanhorse stan, like, I can't wait to read this book.
Amazing. It looks rad.
I'm smiling. It's everything that I want out of a vampire book.
Amazing.
All right, what's your next one?
My last one is called Hench by Natalie Zena Walshots. I picked this one because I think Matt and Nick are both reading it and are really excited about it.
I love Seanan McGuire's review quote at the beginning of it.
She says, "This book is fast, furious, compelling, and angry as hell." It's about this woman, Anna, who is an office temp for criminals. It says that she, as a temp, she's just a cog in the machine, but when she finally gets a promising assignment, everything goes very wrong, and an encounter with the so-called hero leaves her badly injured. And to her horror, compared to the other bodies strewn about, she's the lucky one. It sounds like she gets laid off and then starts doing research into people who are victims of super heroics. And then she gets employed by another villain. And it says, as she becomes an increasingly valuable lieutenant, she might just save the world. The key to everything is data, knowing how to collate it, how to manipulate it, and how to weaponize it. By tallying up the human cost these caped forces of nature wreak upon the world, she discovers that the line between good and evil is mostly marketing. So she is working for this super villain, but is doing good PR for him, basically.
I've always loved, there's, do you remember the short-lived series with Vanessa Hudgens? I think it was called, Powerless or something.
I remember it happening, but I never saw it.
Yeah, so essentially the whole conceit of it is, it's about Wayne Security, and Alan Tudyk plays Bruce Wayne's cousin or something. And it's about essentially a security and safety company that helps regular schmegular people not die every time that superheroes and villains want to destroy everybody in their wake.
Didn't Marvel talk about doing a series about the cleanup crews after?
Yeah.
I don't think that ever happened, but...
There's been comics on both sides.
Yeah.
Some of David's, favorite comics are about... I want to say about, the Gotham PD and, how their, life is made more difficult by this shit.
Yeah, I imagine...
I think it's great. I loved, talking about, what happens to people that aren't superheroes or supervillains. And
yeah,
like
just like
have
the regular people that are living in the world where this bananas sort of stuff happens.
Like, I can't imagine how stressful it would be to just be sitting in my art studio, and then I don't know, Iron Man punches a guy through my window. Who's gonna pay for that? Do I bill Tony Stark?
I guess I don't know how that. I don't know how they deal with all that. Actually, it isn't the villain in the first Spider-Man Tom Holland movie, isn't his construction company or something part of cleaning up these messes, and then they all get laid off? That's why he becomes the Vulture, is by acquiring these assets anyway?
It's,
I think that movie opens with him helping clean up New York after the first Avengers, and then the bureaucratic SHIELD folks showing up and being you're all laid off.
Yeah.
Which is rough.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Sorry guys, I can't come into work today. The Hulk smashed the bus route.
Yeah, so his entire thing, Adrian Toomes, who is the Vulture, he's a damage control guide for the city.
Got it. Yeah. I need to watch that movie again. I really like that movie. It's just it's been on my mind today because we were talking about Zendaya on the work Slack earlier.
Nothing has ever made me happier than when everyone was pissed off that her character was named MJ and her response was to post a picture of herself with red hair on Twitter.
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. It's great. It makes me so happy. But yeah, so that's Hench.
Yeah.
That's all the books I had to shout out this week, although I think we have an episode coming out on Thursday again, which we haven't done weekly episodes like this in a while.
Yes!
Do you want to shout out the Thursday pod?
Sure, no problem. Give me one second. So, in we are having two people that I am friends with that I love very much on the show on Thursday. We're going to have my partner, who is also a full-time editor at IDW Comics, as well as an author, David Marriott, on with us. And we're also going to have Henry Barajas. He wrote La Voz de Mayo Tata Rambo. And we are going to be talking with him about, you know, because it's Hispanic Heritage Month. And his book, his comic is entirely about his heritage as a Hispanic and a Native person. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to be talking to both of them. They've both been on many different sides of the comics world. And we're going to be discussing how that has influenced them as writers. And it should be a lot of fun. They've been friends for a long time.
Nice.
We should get some.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one because I don't really know anything about the, like, the industry side of, like, comic stuff. And so I think that'll be interesting. I'm sure I don't have any specific questions yet, but I'm sure that, like, once we start chatting, I'll have a million. So that'll be a fun conversation.
For our listeners, if anyone is, like, interested in sort of, like, that side of things, I really recommend tuning in, because I feel like people think that comics work one way and the way that they really do is entirely different.
Yeah. Yeah. So this should be a fun conversation. It's the first time that we're doing, like, a dedicated graphic novel episode, which I think is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm super stoked, and I'm extra stoked since it's, like, with two people that I love.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to let you take point on that one, and I'm just going to listen and then chit-chat with my questions.
It'll
be a good time.
If anybody wants to email us questions, between today and Wednesday, like, please do. I'd be happy to throw them in there.
If they have questions for us for the Thursday pod, they need to email us today.
Yeah.
So the sooner you guys get your questions, and if you have questions that you want us to ask, please do that as soon as possible. Because, like, little behind the scenes, but, like, we're doing that tonight. So, yeah, that'll be fun. I think it'll be a good time.
Yeah, I know it will be.
Yeah, so that'll come up. And then I think we're also going to have another episode out next week. So not quite going back to the weekly schedule for good, but we do have a lot of content coming up in the next few weeks. Yeah, it'll be a good time, I think.
Just
and then we got to figure out a Halloween episode. I'm excited for that.
Oh, I already have so many ideas.
Oh boy. It'll be fun. We'll talk about that off mic. What are you reading right now?
Anything
fun? Still just school stuff?
I'm reading school stuff. I also started the Thrawn book.
Oh, nice.
But I have put that on pause because Victoria, one of our fellow booksellers, is amazing and got one of the volumes of the Kylo Ren comic in.
Ooh.
And it was on my shelf when I went in to pick up some other stuff this weekend. So I'm reading the last two chapters of, the last two issues of that in that volume, because I hadn't finished it issue by issue.
Yeah.
What are you
reading?
It's
so good. I am just about finished with Memory of Souls. I have like a couple of hours left of the audiobook. I hit a point that I don't want to say forgot about, that I, like, blocked out of my memory after it happened, because it's tragic. When I read the book the first time, and then when I was going through the audiobook, I got to that moment and I was like, oh, this still really sucks. So I sort of took a pause on it for a few days and didn't put any progress into it, time into it. But I've picked it up again. And I'm very close to the end. And then as soon as I'm done with that, I'm going to start the Thrawn book as well.
Nice.
Because I'm very excited for that. And then I'm also working my way deeper into Bone Shard Daughter, the Andrea Stewart. Because I believe that's going to be our Fantastic First pick for October.
I believe you're right.
So I want to make sure that I can get a review in before we start selling the book to customers.
That sounds like a good idea to me. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get that done in the next, like, week or two. And, you know, I'll shout it out as I make some progress on here, you know. But that's it, just those.
Look at you, just a couple, just some light reading.
Just some light reading. Well, the thing is that for me, it's so easy for me to, like, get to make progress on, like, audiobooks, but more than, like, physical ones or digital ones, just because I can, like, listen. I'm very good at being able to, like, listen to stuff while I do, like, work shenanigans. So.
No, that makes absolute sense to me.
Makes it easy to, like, get through stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. Where can people find you? We'll start wrapping this up. Where can
find me?
Yeah, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram, at Twitter, at Becca Bean. That's B-E-E-A-N. On Instagram, there is an underscore at the end. On Twitter, there is not. I have some commission slots open right now, so if you guys check me out, you know, hit me up.
I'll draw your cat. Do it.
Where can they find you?
People can find me on Twitter also at the Gary Roby. That's R-O-B-Y for my last name, where I've been tweeting a lot about Blazeball lately. For folks who don't know, it's like fantasy baseball. It's like betting on, you can bet coins. It's not real money. You bet coins on these like fantasy teams that don't exist as they like match up against each other each week. But there's
Gary,
also
this is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
There's also this element of like each week there are different like decrees and blessings that go into effect, which change how like players interact with the game. 2 weeks ago, we summoned a player from the dead, which has caused irreparable harm to the game. It's fun. I really like it, but I don't want to like spend a ton of time because it's impossible to explain. Like, most of the lore is fan-created, but a lot of what happens in Blazeball, aside from just the betting on the baseball games, is, like, a tug-of-war between the developers and us, the fans, the people that are, like, playing Blazeball, because they'll introduce a mechanic, and then immediately we end up breaking it somehow, like raising a player from the dead. It's bananas, and I love it. I love it so much. So I've been tweeting a lot about that. And, yeah.
I do want to, say, just before we finish wrapping up, yeah. I don't know. I'm real sad about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to say, you know, may her memory be a blessing. My heart goes out to everyone that is deeply affected by this during this time, and we are here for you.
It was a rough weekend.
Yeah.
We got that. I was on the phone with Kelly on Friday last week about, like, work stuff and schedule stuff when the news broke. And both of us were just like,
I was literally in the middle of my tattoo appointment and my mom called me in tears.
Oh, my. Yeah, that's rough. It's rough. Like, it's a huge deal. You know, we'll see how things go, I guess, over the next couple months. But. Man, what a blow. What a loss.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention it because it felt like the right thing to do.
Totally. I think that, you know, and I'm glad you brought it up because I didn't think on the podcast, but I'm glad that like the Minnesota exists in a place where we can like address stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're recorded, because of the way they're recorded versus how stuff happens with, the main episodes, which usually go out weeks after we record them.
Yeah. So, it is nice to be able to talk about some current event stuff. Though totally. Usually I prefer that it is nicer than this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that, thank you everyone for listening, of course, as always. You can find us online at mistgalaxy.com. Or social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at Myst Galaxy Books. That's M-Y-S-T Galaxy for folks who don't know. Thank you, of course, to Austin Farmer for allowing us to use the track Kill the Farm Boy from his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. That's our intro and outro music. If you enjoy that, go listen to the full track because honestly, we're using less than 30 seconds of this like fantastic 3-minute song.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing song and it's an amazing album. Yeah.
The whole, I put it on when I'm stressing about stuff and I want something that's wordless because I have such a hard time like focusing on lyrics while I'm doing work stuff, which is weird because I can do audiobooks. I don't know.
I don't get it, man. I can't, anything that has words, instantly I'm distracted.
Yeah. It depends on what I'm working on, usually. But really, seriously, go check out Austin Farmer stuff. Link for that is in the description, as always. I gave all of our plugs. So yeah, come back Thursday for our next episode, our interview episode. And we'll see you again soon in a galaxy not so far away.